Good morning, Brother John.
Yes, good morning, Jerry.
Okay, we made it. Oh, wow, technical difficulties this morning, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's an understatement. I would agree with that.
Yeah, we traditionally use a product called Ringer, and it records our podcast for us at both ends. We can have up to five guests. It's pretty cool. But then we have a lot of post-production and what have you. So for some reason, no one can seem to log into Ringer this morning. So we were SOL, as they say in the trade. Shit out of luck. So instead, we went back to one of my old tools that I used to use called Zcast. Great product, great guys. So we're using it. We'll see how it goes. Fingers crossed. And we're doing our show. So enough technical difficulties. John, how are you doing this morning other than all this bullshit we're going through?
I'm doing fine. I've had 3 cups of coffee and the sun's out, which is a good start.
Because it was
supposed to rain today, whatever.
Crazy. 3 cups.
Well, you got to understand, I'm using a coffee maker I haven't used in a year. I'm here in Sarasota, Florida, just south in Siesta Key. So as a result, I'm having to, you know, kind of get myself reoriented this morning as we got ready for this podcast. But challenges are something that we all live with. So nobody wants to hear me, you know, with the old violin a whole bit. So let's move on.
3 cups. That's a record. I don't think we've ever done a podcast on 3 cups of coffee, but we'll see what happens. It should be interesting. So you're in Sarasota. You're at spring training right now.
Yes, it is. It's been that way for about 2 weeks, and weather's pretty good. It's cool. It's about 60 degrees. It's supposed to be cloudy today, but it looks like I might be able to get in my baseball games. So looking forward to it.
What t-shirt are you wearing?
Original. And believe it or not, not only did I bring one, but I actually put it on.
Well, yeah. Now you're cooking. I'm Clark Street today.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to getting back up there.
That's where I should be. I should be there drinking right now.
Yeah. I haven't had a drink since 1971, but I might join you today.
Wow.
Yeah. World record.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. We've got a hell of a show ahead of us. This came about because John and I were talking and noticing that, you know, we have done so many shows now, almost a year's worth, and we've talked about so many different topics that we can't remember what we talked about when. And it's not just senior moments. This is a plethora of topics that we have. And yeah, it's kind of staggering. So I extracted all the data from the Podbean site and put it in a database, a spreadsheet kind of format, sent it to John. We've been looking at it and figured, hey, what are the topics that we hit, missed, the story is still developing, whatever, something interesting that happened to some of the stories that we covered. We've got 9 or 10 of these things to share with you. And that's my framing of it. John, anything?
Well,
any comments?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, if I was a listener, I'd say, well, you know, these assholes have said a lot of stuff during the past year. And I wonder how much of it actually came true, because these guys been blowing smoke, or do they really know what they're talking about?
Yeah.
So what we'd like to do is to bring us forth a semblance of credibility. We're going to work really hard at it to make that happen.
You got to be kidding. I had no idea that
I signed
up for credibility. That's a whole order.
So look, I'm the one holding down the credibility. I don't know what you've got in your hand, but let's leave it at that. Well, we know what you don't have in your hand.
That's not a dick. Okay, enough of that.
Oh, God.
We're having too much fun now.
Yeah, I'm afraid the coffee's kind of lighting up a little bit, thank God.
Yeah. You're now no longer, your brain's no longer under a full court press.
God, no. At least I made it to the mid-court line, and I'm on my way to shooting a field goal, I hope. Which is kind of interesting as we take a look at all of this. We decided to put this in the format of our typical show, which has segments on sports, movies, and fake news. And, you know, I leave the fake stuff to my producer/brother, and I...
Nice. Oh, he's just getting warmed up. I know what's coming. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the thing is that we're going to take a look to start out with sports, and it's a couple things going on. This is that time of the year in which we have both the NCAA basketball tournament in front of us. As we speak this evening, will be the actual announcement of the 68 teams that are going to be going to the big dance. And we've also got spring training. So we're going to do a spring training episode next week. So we're going to concentrate mostly on basketball, a little bit of baseball, and then we're going to finish up with NBA basketball, some of the topics we've had.
Yeah.
So when we take a look at this NCAA basketball tournament last year, as we were making this podcast, we were talking about Northwestern, which happens to be the school I went to. And they were the darlings of basketball. They were going to make their first trip to the big dance. They were going to then make a big splash this year again, but unfortunately that was a big dud.
Yeah.
They ended the, yeah, it was very sad.
Blowout.
They ended up having one glimmer of a chance and blew a 27-point lead a couple weeks ago against second-ranked Michigan State. That happened in February. So, they've been road warriors this year. I'm going to make a lame excuse for their behavior.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I had an
I'm
even
desperate.
better one. I was going to just say, well, they may have fucked up as a basketball team, but they got an outstanding hospital.
Yeah,
How's
that's it.
that?
They can always hang
Health
their
all
hat
back on
on that.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a backup plan that they can always fall back
Yeah,
on.
and with the sexiest elevator in the hospitals anywhere. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, they're yeah. I
Well,
like
here, let
Northwestern
me do it.
and
Can I do it? Will you let me do
yeah.
the
Go ahead.
voice
Go
right
for
here?
it. Yeah.
So you're in an elevator in this hospital, and it's going floor to floor, and a little automaton kind of woman says, 12th floor. Right?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're desperate.
No, I'm not. I looked around the first time I heard it, and everybody else was they had the same look on their face I had. What? It's pretty cool. Anyway, let's move along. Northwestern.
So Northwestern didn't do it, but we have a replacement team this year, and this is a team that I talked about
Yeah.
last week,
Loyola.
Loyola Ramblers. They're also a Chicago team. And as we were talking in St. Louis, we were in the middle. They were in the middle of their Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And the good news is that I can announce that Loyola, with a record of 28-5, has an automatic bid to the NCAA. We don't know their seedings, where they're going to be playing. We'll know that later today. But the good news is that we got, and I've seen the Ramblers now play four games in the last 2 weeks. So I'm an expert on them. No, not an expert.
You're a fan.
I am an interested. I'm more than just a casual fan when it relates to this team. We don't need to go
Well,
into a lot of
that's all you
details.
need.
We, if,
That's all
yeah,
you
if
need.
you, yeah, yeah. You know, if you want to know more about Loyola, listen to last week's podcast.
Yes.
So we got that coming up. The next thing is we're here. I am down in spring training. We want to talk a little bit more about not what's happening on the field. We'll get to that next week. But this week we're going to talk about something called the MLB free agency glut. Something we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. All excited, everybody says, "Hey, collusion!" It's like the doggone clubs are holding up in terms of signing guys. And as we took a look at it, we realized that there were so many players still out there. Well, I think that what I guess if we were going to put it in one sentence, the MLB free agency glut has become a nothing burger, because
Yeah.
what we have right now is I picked out, like, when I prepped for this podcast, I got four star pitchers. One of those has been signed, so we only got three pitchers standing, and I had six star position players, and we've only got four of them standing. So things are moving
Yeah.
along a little bit. I would
Well,
say
hold
that
on. There were 60 of them, weren't there?
there's 60. If you go, the first thing is, I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but the bottom line is, what is a free agent?
Yeah.
Is it that guy who's looking for that last contract who probably doesn't have a chance? Or is it these players that are looking for these multi-year contracts, or and everything in between? So
Right.
when you have 60 to start out with, there's a lot of duds in there. And that's the reason
Oh,
it's
okay.
hard to put, you can't put a number on it. So what I tried to do was say, here is the population. As we take a look at it, the 60 included all of them that have signed since last year that they came up with. So we were left with about 20 of those guys. And out of those 20, I picked what I considered the stars, what I call the real active guys who should be looking for multi-year contracts. And I can tell you right now that we don't have much of that left. The critical thing I think right here is we've got three pitchers left. We've got Alex Cobb, Jake Arrieta, and Greg Holland, which are both got the, all these pitchers are fairly good. Two of them are starters, one of them is a reliever, and they should be looking for multi-year contracts. And it's more critical for the pitchers because the pitchers need anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks to get ready. And here we are in the third week of spring training, so we don't have a lot of time left. The season
No.
starts the last couple of days of March. So those are the guys who've got to worry a little bit. They might end up missing a start getting ready if they do sign as we speak today. The position players, I mean, if they get up in the morning, they have to make a big decision. Are they going to go out and hit or go to the bathroom? I mean, that's how fast
Wow. Don't go to the
they
bathroom. Something near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, I mean, some of them just get up and start hitting. They don't even need to go to the bathroom. They wait to do that later.
Wow, that is flat.
So,
That's talent. That's talent there. That is
but
talent. Okay.
as I take a look, the story that I want to talk a little bit about is
Shiro, yeah.
Ichiro Suzuki at the age of 44 was on this list of free agent signings, but he's not. Which he's one. He fits more into the retirement category. He's at his age, and with his most recent productivity, batted 255 in 136 games in the year 2017. He's not exactly what you call on the leading edge of the guys who are going to sign up. Ichiro signed up this last week with Seattle Mariners, which is it's like a homecoming. Because that's the first team he signed with back in 2001, as he came off of a seven-year career in Japan, and then has already gone 17 years in MLB. So I mean, this guy
Yeah.
has carved out a Hall of Fame career already. But what's intriguing about it is that there was an ESPN magazine article, which you can get on. You can actually click it on. It's a free article that describes a ball player whose obsession with baseball is just mind-boggling, and it sort of fits what you would expect it for a Japanese.
Well, yeah, but it's a little more than that. I mean, this guy has got me fascinated. You know, I'm not exactly a sports nut, but what a profile. I mean, number one, I have only one question for you. My observation is he's 44. That's old, even for baseball, isn't it?
There is like maybe one other pitcher, Bartolo Colon, that's even
Nolan
Ryan
Ryan was what?
pitched in. Yeah, and he's a pitcher that pitched into his mid 40s, 45, 46
Okay.
years old,
All right. So he's in
productively.
that category. He's in that category, I guess.
Yes, he. Yeah, we're talking the 1% percentile here.
Wow.
That's where this guy sits as he tries to continue playing baseball. But if you read the article, what's just it's almost alarming. By the fact that this man has, for his whole life, including most of his childhood, been subjected to baseball in a way that, you know, a Little League father does not begin to describe Ichiro's father, the way that he indoctrinated baseball into this poor kid's system, to the point that
Wow.
it was borderline abuse.
Right.
And the thing is, I think if Jerry, you might mention the quote that's in the article that I think really kind of tells the story when Ichiro is asked how much fun it was being a kid and playing baseball. What does he say?
Well, first of all, as I recall in the article, it was they said his dad did a book and said that it was fun,
Yes.
and that was the one time he spoke English instead of
Yes.
Japanese, and he said. He's a liar. That's a
Yeah,
lie.
he's
That's a lie, wasn't it? That's a lie.
that is a lie.
Yeah.
And Ichiro is very coy about he's very adept at English, but you would never know it based upon an interview because he's smart enough to realize he doesn't want to. You know, it's easy enough, you know, the language to be out of context, so he uses an interpreter
Yeah.
at all times. But
Smart,
this the
smart,
emotion,
smart, by the way.
but the emotion got him. So, and the fact is, he has this. He would really like to continue playing baseball to the age 50, but he has been quoted as saying, well, people say, well, what are you going to do in post-retirement? Are you going to be a manager, a coach?
No,
And
I'm
his
gonna be
response,
dead.
I'm going to be dead. I mean,
Whoa.
so when you look at the free agent signings and you're worried about the guys who are the stars or are not getting the multi-year contracts, I think we ought to be a little bit more concerned about Ichiro, who has an alternative to signing, and that is called death.
Well, you know, we were joking about this, but it is a fact in Japan. So many people throw themselves off of their tall apartment building balconies that they, in most of these places, they build grills just above the street to catch them before they hit the street because they don't want to have to go through cleaning them up on the street.
Well, just to kind of conclude this little piece, just to give you an idea of what Ichiro's life is about, he is practicing baseball practically every day of the year. He has left his wife in the States, gone back to Japan, stays at the same hotel every year, goes out to the same field, has the same entourage that he works with every day off season, hitting. I mean, this and puts.
Wow.
And you would say, well, this is a man that's obsessed with baseball. He must be the world's worst teammate. It's gotten to the point where people, when he first started doing this back in 2001 with the Seattle Mariners, I think the players were a little put off. But once you show the productivity you have of this man, and the fact that he has become so self-deprecating in terms of, and he realizes the ritual that he goes through is kind of over the edge, and he makes fun of it.
Little insane, yeah.
Yeah, he smiles. But in addition to the fact he is the, you'd never guess it, but he is an incredibly good clubhouse prankster. So you put
Oh,
all these
really?
pieces together. Oh yeah, you know
I didn't
he's
know that.
yeah, it's something you would never imagine for this guy. So you put all those pieces together, and when he signed with Seattle, most ball players would say, "Oh, there's an old guy taking up a spot on the roster." No,
Wow.
it's like they can hardly wait. They're with open arms to have him back on the team because everybody realizes that they are getting a special opportunity to have an experience with a special ball player. So
Huh.
it'll
Well,
be
that's my
interesting to see how
question. He's batting 250 now. I don't know what that translates in this year, but when we were kids growing up, 250 was 300 is kind of a high watermark. That's where you want to be, isn't it? Batting
Yeah,
average.
well, here, okay, Ichiro's lifetime batting average in the MLB is a 312.
Ooh.
He's obviously going to be far below us, but the other thing about him is that he is not a power hitter, and that's a whole nother story in itself. He could be a power hitter, but he's decided to be a singles hitter. So, 255 for a guy who hits 30 home runs is probably very acceptable. 255 for a guy who is, going to hit maybe two or three home runs is not as well accepted. But again, I think I'm hoping that the fact he's going back to Seattle, which is a great town to be in if you're Asian, is going to, in addition to coming to the homies we're used to playing, will end up being a revival to his career. I don't think 50 is in the cards for him in terms of age. I would suspect that his fallback position would be, and he is everybody in Japan. I mean, he's called Ichiro for a reason. He's like Elvis in Japan and here, obviously. They would greet him. They go nuts if he played again in Japan.
Oh,
So I
so
think that
he can
would
play out his career in Japan
he
easily.
could. I think it's a fallback position that I would that most people have predicted that he would do, because he
Okay.
just wants to continue baseball. And the as we close this up, the ironic piece about Ichiro is that his father indoctrinated him so much. I mean, his whole life became baseball. And the sad part about it is that Ichiro can't shake that. It's like
Yeah.
his whole life has continued being that way. So here's a man at the age of 44 years old who's still living the practices that he is now criticizing his father for actually instilling inside of him.
Wow, he's like full of cognitive dissonance then. Is
Well, I would like to think he's a unique, singular person,
that's a
and
better
he's,
interpretation.
yeah.
But and just a personal note here, reading about this guy and hearing about him from you, by the way, I can't get enough of this. We have to do something in the future about this because this guy fascinates me.
Well,
It
it'll
may
play out.
this guy he really he's good for me personally because he makes me feel good. I had some baseball abuse in my life, and I'm speaking with my abuser on the air. He would not let me go to sleep at night until I recited all the American League stadiums and all of the National League stadiums. And for some reason, John, you have kind of a hypnotic effect on me on certain situations, and that was one of them. I have to obey, which is not my character, as you might verify. So, yeah, that was an odd thing, wasn't it?
Well,
But here,
let
this
me
guy
tell the
makes
others.
it, yeah, at least At least it's nothing like this poor guy had. Wow.
I'm going to tell you the other side of the story here. And the fact is that I did basically make him recite those. But he was so bored that I was able, he had trouble sleeping, and I was the person who helped him fall asleep. Because he was so bored. Okay, that's the other side of the story there. Okay, now I'm glad
right.
we got that
public
out.
Service. Is that a public service? That's what you're doing for me? Okay,
I can tell
okay
you,
we're
going to
let that go. We're going to let that go. Let's move.
All okay, right. Let's move on to another, the last sports item, and that is we've talked a lot in the back in previous podcasts about baseball tanking in the NBA and team dominance. The good news is baseball tanking in the NBA is alive and well. It's still going strong. It's at the point now where the commish, Adam Silver, is still very sensitive to making sure that every team plays as if they're going to win, try in every game. Let's not think about where we might fall in terms of the lottery, in terms of the first round draft pick. We got to be concerned about what's happening on the court and keep trying, fellas.
What? That's a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, how about good old Mark Cuban? He took it seriously, didn't he?
Yeah, well, these guys are tanking. They're tanking and proud, right? It's like I'm black and I'm proud. These guys are tanking in their
mind.
They don't
care
who knows.
It is. In fact, what's funny is we've got two really big things that happened in the news in the last month. One of them is Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner, has instructed his players that they would be best for them to lose the rest of the year. And so as a result of that, the commissioner slapped him on the hand and fined him $600,000, which, of course, Mark was able to open his wallet and pay in cash. But
that money is between the cushions on his couch. That falls out of his pocket. Jeez. Money, huh?
Yeah. So Adam Silver was a little concerned about the Chicago Bulls because they appeared to be resting some of their veteran players. And
Adam Silver, what he's the czar of basketball?
Yeah, he's the NBA commish. So the thing was, though, that the Bulls, their posture was that they needed extra coaching. So what they did is they kept their veteran players on the bench so that they could then, of course, coach the younger players who were playing their positions now so that they had this extra instruction. Isn't that wonderful?
Wow. Where did they learn that? From their politicians. That's where they got that skill. Wow.
Hey, this morning I decided to take a look and see exactly, believe it or not, there's a tankings ratings out there.
You're kidding.
No, and what's so funny about it is that there are five teams above the Bulls and the Mavs in the rankings. The Memphis Grizzlies have lost 15 games in a row. The Phoenix Suns have done a little better. They've lost 12 out of 13. So, the fact is that the key to succeeding in tanking is to call it rebuilding.
Oh, now there's a euphemism.
Oh, dear.
John.
So that's
we're rebuilding our podcasting career today, right? That's why we're using Zcast, right?
Oh,
I'm
God,
learning.
Yes,
I'm learning.
So,
all right. So that was cool. I like this. I like this stuff. This is good. I think we scored some points here with our sports coverage. Your thoughts?
I think we have. I would just say that we've still got the same team dominance that we've had before with the Golden State Warriors and the Celtics on top. But we've got a few new guys. The Toronto Raptors have come on board. And it's nice because we finally – it's the only NBA team in Canada. So come on. Let's kind of give one for the up north. And we've got the Houston – the Houston team, what they call the Rockets in the West, have kind of getting into invading the Golden State Warrior dominance territory. But so that's kind of what we've got going. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out in as we get to postseason with the NBA playoffs. But that takes care of our sports side of the equation here.
Yeah, it does. So now movies. We got
movies.
Some cool stuff with the movies.
Hey, the fact is that, you know, we were kind of during the year trying to make some predictions as to how Oscar worthy some of the current movies that we were reviewing. I'm just going to point out two movies that we mentioned. I don't think we actually did any other current ones that we could actually make any bold predictions. One of them was The Big Sick. That was Kumail Nanjiani and his wonderful wife, Emily Gordon, wrote the screenplay for. And it's based upon real life experience.
Their real life experience.
Yeah, their real life experience. And so we felt that The Big Sick would had an outside chance maybe to get something in the best actor category. But you have to understand that this comedian, Kumail Nanjiani, has never been in a movie before. He was incredibly good for a first movie.
I was impressed. And plus, he's done all these public appearances since, and he's very, very funny and very good. Yeah. This guy's got he's got it.
I would say that he's been in a couple other things, but it'll be interesting to see how he's going to top this movie. We felt that it had a chance for maybe something other than the major four or five categories, and sure enough, it came up with a nomination for the best original screenplay.
Yeah, so as it should. As it should.
So, chalk one for the bros. That's all I got to say. And and then we got another one we looked at. We looked at actually Blade Runner and then Blade Runner 2049.
I have to chuckle. Two guys, you were at the time, you were 71 at the time we watched that? I was 69. Yeah. Does that sound right? Okay. So here we are. I'm flirting with 70. You're over the mark. And so we go to see this movie, and both of us fall asleep during it. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I thought this and the snooze index, this was a higher, it was pretty high up there. I only would say that I watched this movie. I decided to sneak in about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night to see it. I went to a late version of this or showing of it. But I think what we felt out of it was that that there was some potential for, again, Oscars, but not in the main categories. And this one we did better.
Yeah, we did. We did very well on this end. By the way, for the record, I went back with Mary Jane, my wife, and watched it again. And this time I stayed awake during the whole thing because the trick is you have to drink at least one or two cups of coffee before you go see that movie. That's because I fell asleep during the day. That's sad.
It's a trade-off. I mean, the fact that you start drinking the coffee to stay awake, then you have to go to the bathroom and miss movies that way.
Not a problem.
Oh, dear, let's not go.
I had my bag.
Episode. Yeah, you were in the bag. You were in the sack. That's the first time you watched it. Sorry, but okay.
So how'd we do? How'd we do,
so
bro?
We got two Oscars out of it, Best Visual Effects and Best Cinematography. And I'd like to also comment that we've mentioned before that the Academy has strange or different reasons other than just the best performance or this or that for giving an award. A lot of times they'll feel bad that they haven't done it in the past. They have second guessed some of their choices. So they have what I call it's sort of like the best lifetime achievement award. And sure enough, the cinematographer for Blade Runner 2049, a fellow named Roger Deakins, had been nominated 14 times before and come up empty each time. So I think this nomination is one that I would call the Lifetime Achievement Award for him, too.
Well, and I think it's a little like makeup sex, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
As I recall.
It's a short answer, yes.
Okay.
That's short. Wow. We don't need to get any further in sex than that. Okay. His nominations, though, if you don't know who Roger Deakins is, start with Shawshank Redemption and include plenty of the Coen's brothers' movies. So he's got an incredibly good resume.
Yeah, he's got credentials, that's for sure. He's good. Agreed.
So
the redeeming feature of this movie is probably just a nerd's point of view, but the prequel little movies, the semi-animated little movies they put out for people to catch up what happened between the old Blade Runner and the new Blade Runner was super cool. That made it for me.
I would have to agree with that. So the thing is that as we take a look at another segment we looked at, Brockmire, it's very timely we mentioned Brockmire now. Brockmire is a TV show, IFC, is the name of the channel that was showing it, 8 episodes last year. And the good news is it's been renewed. Now, if you like sports and you like sports announcing, Brockmire is the show to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It is a story of about a broadcaster, a baseball broadcaster, who has a moment of indiscretion because of a serial adulterer wife. It happens he finds out about the fact that she and she swings a lot of directions from the ceiling as it comes to sex. He finds out for the first time that she has been cheating on him.
While
So,
he's on the air.
yeah, it's pretty amazing. And he has a meltdown. So he ends up going down to the depths of the minor leagues and finds a out of all this, he ends up broadcasting for the Morristown Frackers.
Oh man.
Rust Belt
What
at
a
its best.
that is so bad. I love it.
So
Amanda Pete. Amanda Pete
Amanda
is now
Pete's in
shows
it,
up.
and Amanda Pete is his. She's the owner of the club, so that makes her his employer, his soulmate, his bed
Yes.
buddy, and his drinking partner. Boy, she covers a lot of
Wow.
bases.
She really does. She should get some kind of baseball award.
And the thing is that a fairly unknown fellow by the name of Tyrell Jackson Williams plays the nerd technical guy who knows nothing about baseball. He's intern at its greenest. And so
Wow.
the good news is they're all
Sounds like
coming
me.
back. Too much
Well,
like you, unfortunately, but that's another
okay.
thing, whatever. The thing is that they're all coming back, and this is a labor of love. I mean, Hank, the star of it, Brockmeyer, is played by Hank Azaria, who has got his claim to fame, and he's well known for being on The Simpsons, I think. Isn't that it,
Yeah,
Jerry?
oh, yeah, he's a voiceover guy. That's his real claim to fame.
And but he's also an incredibly big New York Mets fan. So what he's done is he's taken his hobby, baseball, in his career, his vocation, avocation, and got them together. He's been trying to do this for many, many years. And so it's a labor of love, and you can just tell that there's just a lot of love in making this show. And I'm just so glad to see that the original cast is coming back for another 8 more episodes. It's starting April 25th.
Ooh.
There's a tease out there that you can
A
actually
trailer.
see. There's a trailer tease. There's a trailer, and then
Ooh.
there's a trailer tease. There's a tease to the trailer. I
Wow.
mean, it's all there for you to check it out.
Well, I
And
can't wait.
so,
I will be back in Austin by then, so that's the sad news because I don't get IFC. That's too bad. That's sad, actually, because this is a win for the bro show because we said, hey, this is it. This thing is the shit. This is the show to watch. And really,
yeah.
there's no award or anything here that we can talk about. But we can say it got renewed, which is kind of a miracle these days. Would you,
It
is
is.
that
I
a,
mean,
is it, wouldn't you say that's it? That's what we got here?
it's a very special niche for that. I think it's outrageous. I mean, and what's nice is I just give you a little sneak preview. Hank, as we left, he decided to continue his baseball career and leave Amanda high and dry as he
Ooh.
leaves Morristown, and so there's a little friction going on. So where does Hank start his new season? In New Orleans. It's like you talk the city of debauchery and Hank meet. That's like you couldn't have a better connection, a better
Or
joining.
worse one.
Yeah, exactly. So we look
We'll
forward to
see.
Brockmeyer. We'll see what
Oh,
happens.
okay. Yeah, this is another bro show prediction. You will love it. Even if
Yes.
you don't like baseball, you'll love this.
So the other thing is we got one more movie item, and that is Harvey Weinstein.
That's Weinstein, by the way.
Okay, I'll try to get it straight here. Harvey
Okay.
Weinstein. Did I do it right that time?
No, Weinstein.
Weinstein. Okay, Harvey Weinstein. Under the Radar. He is. What we did is we. This is a very touchy subject. We decided to go a little bit different route because Harvey decided back in October to actually to get therapy for sexual addiction, and everybody kind of laughed it off. But
Right.
two things happened. Number one, with a little bit of experience our producer has in 12-step programs, he could kind of give us an
Oh, who's
insight on
that?
how that could work.
Oh, that's me.
That's you, unfortunately. That's you. But I tried to give the producer credit for it rather than you, but I'll give you credit too, okay?
Oh, that's complex. There's a psychological issue there we'll talk about later. Continue.
But the other thing that was interesting about this is that I happen to be just miles away from Harvey, because guess where he decided to get his sanctuary to get this recovery? Scottsdale, Arizona, where I was watching Arizona Fall League baseball. So I had this kind of closeness in terms of where he's located, and I wouldn't say that I did a Harvey sighting. But the thing is, as we took a look at this, there's one thing that you brought up, Jerry, that's important, and that is that this man stay under the radar.
Yes, and absolutely.
And I would say
why?
That, because
recovery.
That was the recovery, that it was a requirement of his recovery, that he doesn't shout to the world, I'm cured, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, whatever, just lay low.
Yeah. Well, now, this is not public knowledge. This is just you and I talking about it. And we said on the show, we'll know if he's really doing this seriously or not if we see him on talk shows or even hear from him sound bites, anything about his treatment and his recovery, we'll know that he's fucked it up. And if we don't hear from him, we'll know that he's successful. And we haven't heard from him except for one little incident, which was, I don't count it myself. He got into a fight with somebody. I think that's good.
Unprovoked altercation is what I would call it. I would say that as we take a look at it, I would say that he has a chance for recovery. Let's not try to predict that Harvey's recovered because he's been under the radar. But I would like to think
he'll slip. He'll slip, obviously. But that's not the point, really. Is it?
He is. No. Yeah. Well, my point would be that he has given himself an opportunity based upon the behavior that we're able to see. To recover, and we know that you're never cured is what your point would
correct
be from
correct.
Anything like of these addictions. So
and we are not fans. We have to say this now, despite what we just said, we are not fans of his behavior. We are fans of human beings and their redemption. Right?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Right. That's how we get through our days.
Say that just. Emphasize the fact that there's obviously two sides of the coin. You know, we could talk about he's been the butt of all jokes, and that isn't what you call publicity that we were interested in. We're interested in what's happening, out there. And the fact is that when we left Harvey back in October of last year, he had reported a criminal. He was under the criminal investigation by the New York Police Department. All we can say is that London and LA have now added themselves to the cities that are criminally investigations. Of him. So we'll just, those are long drawn out things, primarily because these things that they're looking at happened a long time ago. And the longer, ago it happened, the harder it is to collect evidence. So I would just say that we can expect sometime, I wouldn't even say in the near future, but in the future to hear the results of that. As much as he's been a butt of all these jokes, there's just one thing that happened. It was just so close to the Academy Awards. It's and if you haven't heard about this, and I'm not going to make light of it, but the fact is that somebody decided to kind of take advantage of Harvey and actually make a statue of him called the Casting Couch. It's kind of sad. The Casting Couch, which we know what the Casting Couch is if you know anything about Hollywood. It's out located within about five blocks of where the Academy Awards were. And it was put up about a week before. And it's a couch where you see Harvey as a statue sitting on the couch in a robe holding an Oscar. And thank God the Oscar's up fairly up. He's holding it out, out, and it's about at his stomach level. If it was any lower, the suggestions would be too obvious as to what it looked like. But again, it was done in poor taste, but it's just something that I thought we would just like to mention, and that's about it for Harvey. We just kind of realize he's got a rough road ahead of him in more ways than one. I mean, let's face it, it's going to be tough, and you know what? He started the movement in his own bad wrongdoing is what started the Me Too movement, really getting full blast, which has continued very, very strong, and as we reach the elections, what's happening? It just continues because we have more women that have come front that want to run for office and are running. So as we see the midterm elections, I would anticipate that that's what we're going to be seeing a lot more of the Me Too movement. So any comment from you? Hello. Okay. So as we move on in terms of the, as we're looking at this, let's take a look at the last thing I've got. You know, that's the news moving items.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the
fake news.
Puerto Rico. Well, you got fake news. That's correct. So as we take a look at this, let's take a look at the Puerto Rican update we did. Now, last year we had a guest star that had actually been to an island called the Vasquez Island, which is located east of Puerto Rico, part of Puerto Rico. And we commented about the fact that this island is just an eco-tourist destination. It's
Definitely.
Incredible.
Yes,
it is. It's got so much nature on it. And the other thing is, so we'll talk a little bit about that, but the fact is that when it comes to the Hurricane Maria, this island took one for the team.
Definitely.
Because as Definitely. We know, when a hurricane approaches, it gets onto land, it decreases its speed. If you take a look at a map, you'll see that the Vasquez Island is sort of horizontal. It's kind of broadsides
Long.
The
yeah,
it broadsides the doggone Puerto Rico. And we know that it didn't, the Puerto Rico got hit pretty hard. So I can just imagine how much worse it might have been if we didn't have this wonderful little island.
Yeah.
So,
with wild horses and phosphorescent bays that glow in the dark at night. It's a cool place. Jeremy gave us a great, he went there and wow, I was entranced.
It is an incredible, it's just like a step back in time in terms of nature. Mm-hmm. You can go there. It prided itself in being very isolated from the real world. And unfortunately, that ended up being its curse because it was last in line. And we know how Puerto Rico was considered after several weather disasters. They were third in line, Puerto Rico was. And all of a sudden, we've got behind all that, we got this wonderful little island, which has had very, very slow recovery efforts. So we wanted to update you on what's going on there. It's slowly recovering. It's a tourist attraction, so we find that the tourist industry is probably on the front end of getting recovery because they require that, you know, that's their trade there on the island with some homes. But the fact is that just like FEMA has gotten a bad name for the main island, it's also been dropped the ball in terms of the supply, power, home recovery. And the good news is that I think as much as the community was maligned, the Puerto Rican natives were maligned by President Trump for not stepping up and doing their part. I think we can find that this island more than did their fair share. As a community, didn't wait around and mope, and they
That's
realized
right.
that they needed to get their act. They needed to do their thing, and so they rallied behind a lot of volunteers to help them. So the result is there was a semblance of normalcy into the island. It's estimated that it's a population to start with about 9 or 10,000. They've probably, there's just some people who just, you know, it's so bad that they just kind of pulled up stakes and said, we're out of here. That's about maybe 5 to 10% of the population.
Yeah, it's kind of like New Orleans with the hurricane down there back when,
yes.
right?
Yeah, with the hurricane that took place several years before.
Karina or something? I can't remember
Katrina,
the name of it
Katrina.
Katrina, that's it. Yeah.
So the thing is, though, that when we take a look at this island has been a second-class citizen beaten up. Not as we talked about when we originally discussed it, the U.S. has dumped on this island big time before. Because what they did is they used this island through the 1990s as a military site. And what they did is they did a lot of testing of various weapons, mines,
ordnance,
all that stuff. It's just, and the thing is that there's a super fund that EPA had pulled together, but we know where EPA stands now. It's like, you talk about being last. It's on life support. Death.
Life support, definitely. Wow,
so,
that is so sad.
So here's what I look at and I see this. I say, you know what, U.S.? You've got an opportunity here. First thing is that hurricane scattered some of this ordnance stuff further under that, because if island, actually about a third of it needed to be renovated, rejuvenated.
Yeah, put back to its natural state.
Right? Yes.
Because it's full of bombs and shit.
Hey, listen, tread lightly for this part.
Yeah.
You might be hitting a mine.
Yeah,
so
what about these four horses?
I
mean, I'm sure some of them turned into horse burger as a result of this.
Oh, God. You know, the good news is...
I'm getting hungry.
To bring closure. Oh, God, you have an appetite. Plus,
yeah, I do.
So the thing is that
Who saved
this
him?
would,
That's the question.
well, who saved this? That the fact is that
The EPA is failing. FEMA is failing. President Trump is failing. Who's going to step up?
well, you know what? It's amazing. This is an island that has been is structured around nature. And if there's one thing that's stronger than humans, it's nature itself. So who
True.
stepped up? What stepped up is the fact that the bioluminescent phosphorus, sites
Phosphorescent,
here,
yeah.
phosphorescent, where you can go around on your boat and you can look behind you and all of a sudden you see this beautiful light. The horses are hanging very tight. They've lost a few, but not many. So the nature's coming back, the birds, the plants. That's the comeback. And you know what? That's really hopefully that will result in a quick comeback for the ecotourist trade. But it's sort of like when you have a forest fire and
Yeah,
the end result is that it comes back stronger in terms of the
right.
foliage. That's the way that this island is coming back. So although
Nice.
FEMA, et cetera, is slowly behind, the natives have done an incredible job. I like to think that the tourist trade for those who love nature will be not far behind.
It well
So
didn't the LBGD community step up on this?
they did, but I did some work on that, and that is an area that they've done on both the island and Puerto Rico. So I wasn't going to
Okay.
emphasize that because that effort has spans beyond the island, although they are a very significant part of the population. And if you take a look, you see when you take a look at this, there's a lot of people down there who are using are on this island as a second home.
Yeah.
So those second home people are a lot of those are the ones who have the resources because it's their second home to really
Right.
come in and help. And that's a big part of this native group that is of volunteers that's come to the rescue. So
Wow. Wow. That's all I
we
have to
hope to
say.
see. We have good stuff, hopefully,
We
in the
were
future for this
excited.
island.
Yeah, we were very excited about this story because there was so much information to gather, and it was in the news at the time. It was a big deal, and it was a little puzzling, the reaction that the government and all the agencies that should be helping had to it. And the amazing thing is, if this would have been Obama, if this would have been George Bush or anybody else, they would have gotten so slammed about this. But this president that we have, he's in so much deep shit in so many different areas that you just can't hold on to stuff with him. I mean, he was in hot water for what, 15 minutes or something? And then
Yeah,
he's
moved on to
on to the
another. Yeah.
next, yeah, on to the next scandal that he's involved in. So it's dizzying. It really is. This is like emblematic of the whole deal, and is a good segue, I think, into our next topic, which
Ooh,
is
yes.
fake news.
Yes.
All right, so. Well, in this area, we've got this is where we have what would you say? We have too much material. There are too many things to cover with fake news. So we're going to have to, and we're what? We're 48 minutes in. So we're going to have to pick and choose a little bit here because there's just too much, too much, too much. I mean, we could talk about the fact that there's an adult entertainer, Stormy Daniels, and that's not a real name. She chose that name, which I consider a compliment. Daniels, that's our name. So, that's kind of cool. But the other thing that's interesting about her is she's got a brain, she's telegenic, and she could be big trouble. Big trouble. But it would be odd, but it just could be that this is what sticks. This might be the thing that actually brings a man down. You don't know. Nobody knows. But it's in that's interesting. But we no, we're not gonna talk about that. No, right, John? We're going to leave that
Well,
leave that alone,
I
right?
think that what we get out of all this is we see
Korea
the
is what we're going to talk about.
monumental, yeah, well, the monumental, just to bring closure to this part, the monumental amount of indiscretions that we have with the president. And everybody needs to step back and say, well, wait a minute, is all this stuff going to get rid of the president? And the fact is that, no, let's go back to the civic lesson. Which, by
Yes.
the way,
Oh, no, 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 no.
that is a sore subject for me, because we would
Here
have
he
a
goes.
guest
Here he goes.
right
Go
now.
ahead.
We would have a guest right now,
Oh,
one
man.
of our wonderful high school teacher, our civics teacher, Mr. Cox, Mr. Weldon Cox, would
Oh,
presently
man.
be our guest, except for a producer that basically stumble-bumbled as he made a communication to the high school, Mr. Cox, our teacher. Because you know what he did? He mentioned both of us. He mentioned his stumble-bumble doofus pupil, the producer, and then he mentioned the star pupil, me, when he should have only mentioned the star pupil, and then we would have that guest. But that's,
oh, man.
I should try to get over that, but I can't.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, you're talking about me in third person, which is weird. I'm right here. I'm right here. So that's the first weird thing about this proclamation. The second thing is that's total bullshit. Total bullshit. I wrote a good letter, and I owned up to my sins, which I thought was appropriate, yeah, and highlighted your triumphs. And still, he probably listened to some of our podcasts and decided, "Hey, I don't want to get in on that."
This is dangerous. It's dangerous. Yeah. And there's one thing we know.
Look what he does to his brother. That's probably what he thought. And that was you. Oh, he's talking about, not me. Look how he throws his brother
in other
under
words,
the bus.
You think that because I show a little bit of abuse to you, and I think that I'm overstating it when I say that word. I think what I'm doing is trying to give you some constructive criticism that you can, that you have up to this point at the age of 69 have failed to really grasp. And I'm hoping that somewhere along the line in our remaining years that I'm able to help you.
Oh. What a nice brother.
Okay, so
I feel so good.
Okay, good. Well, while you feel good, which doesn't happen that often, mentally at least, let's move on to actually the crux of the matter here. And the fact is that we learned from that, our previous podcast, that there's this thing called impeachment. The president could expose himself in front of the White House, and that's not going to be a grounds, because it has to be, what do they call that in the impeachment, the old
High crimes and misdemeanors?
Misdemeanors, yeah. And what's a misdemeanor? I don't know.
Oh, my God. It's worthless. By the way, that is worthless. This whole thing, this whole impeachment thing, talk about a nothing burger. Prime time. It's just prime time for a bunch of politicians. So get over it. Don't hold your
breath.
So
that's not going to happen. And the other thing is the 25th Amendment, which could possibly, and if the, you know, that's there
that's
for
a stretch.
President. Yeah, that's for a president that strokes out. And now we know that, you know, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, well, what if he's mentally unbalanced? Well,
good
that's
luck
kind
proving
of great.
That.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And then what's the other? There's another alternative too, right?
What's that? I don't know. Those are the only two that I remember. Of course, maybe didn't.
Well, he could the pressure
resign.
To get
yeah,
to
he
him,
could,
and
he could
resign.
He could go the Richard Nixon route.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's so slim.
No,
I forgot.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. He'll destroy everything around him before he destroys himself.
So, as much as we listen to these, well, maybe you listen to them. I try to avoid them. Those talking heads on CNN and MSNBC. We stick with Mika as the
Mika,
only thing that's
Mika,
happening.
Mika,
Mika, Mika, Mika, Mika. I mean, that's about it. Because the rest of it is the breaking news that you hear about all the shenanigans of the president are going to go nowhere in terms of getting rid of him. Unfortunately,
no. Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
So that's, I think, the gist of that. So now the other fake news segment, and that is what?
Korea. Mm. Now, this is like current fake news, because we just had this, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
We had, let's go from the current day and work backwards in time, because that would make this interesting, I think. Current day, we had the South Korean dude, I can't even remember his goddamn title, him and a couple other South Koreans got out in front of the White House like at 8:30 at night and, you know, announced that they are brokering talks, not just between North Korea and the U.S., but between the two leaders of those countries. So this is a big deal, a real big deal, except that it's not. And I'll explain why. Here's why. Number one, we should have learned by now that just because Donald Trump, off the cuff, when this thing happened spontaneously, needed something like this, because he was in such deep doo-doo with Stormy Daniels, she was ready to take the front page of every New York paper the next day. And so he had to do something. This is what he did. He agreed to meet with the North Korean leader by May, which is an absurdly early date by diplomatic standards, and that he himself would meet with the leader himself. And that's unheard of. It's never happened. No U.S. leader has met with these goons. So much less, no U.S. president. So this is weird. This is a super weird thing, it would seem. The immediate reaction was, well, at least we're talking with them now rather than bombing the shit out of them or vice versa. So that's good, right? And, you know, Bob Woodstein, Woodward, and you know, got on the air and you know, broadcasted his sunshine about this thing. And everybody else is just like, oh, really? Have you read any history at all, dude? Because these leaders, these three leaders, the current one, his father, and his father, have jerked around U.S. presidents as a hobby for generations. This is what they do. This is their MO. This is how they get off. So, yeah, what we're in store for is, if this happens in May, it'll be a miracle. If it happens, mm-hmm. it'll be a miracle. It's something Donald Trump needed in the moment, and he used it expertly. This is one area he where did. I have to give him credit. He is very good at distraction. So, with that, full marks, Mr. Trump. However, just bear in mind, the last time the U.S. met with North Korea, it took 1 month, 30 days of heavy negotiation to decide on what shape the table was going to be. Oval, hexagonal, square, rectangular, ovoid, elliptical. They went a month. So this is, I'm just going to say it. It's bullshit. I mean, if this happens at all, it'll be a miracle. The claims that are being made here, we are going to recognize your right to hold military operations with the South Koreans off our shore. We're not going to freak out like we always do. We're not going to do any more missile testing or bomb testing. So you can relax. And let's talk about denuclearizing the entire peninsula. That's the claim that we're getting from the godlike leader of North Korea. So this is so weird and so too good to be true. It's not even funny, but no Stormy. She didn't make the front pages.
I would have to agree with you. I think the point being here that this is this would be a minor miracle, but what's interesting about it is it's sort of like North Korea could possibly say, you know what, we need a little time to lock and reload here. Because we've run out of because they don't have a lot in the way of natural resources to start out with, and they're not their economy is like on the edge of this.
You talk know, about it, life support.
Yeah, life support. So as a result, they probably are. This is their way of saying time out before we do another nuke test. And this is
who knows.
Yeah, yeah, we just don't know. I mean, that's I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just kind of using that as a possible. Thing that could be happening over there in North Korea. We have no idea what these people are thinking. Yeah.
Well, we know one thing. We know we do have data now, and I don't have it in my hip pocket right now, but there is data on the size and weight of North Koreans versus South Koreans, and it's alarming. These people are starving to death, literally, not figuratively. Yeah. It's really happening in real time. So that is the other reason that the North Korean leader is doing this, because he's fearful of being assassinated and overthrown, because he's got a populace that is really in distress. Now, his only hope, if you're going to really subjugate a people, I guess starving them is probably the best way to go, because then it takes the fight out of them, I guess. So,
well, they're drinking the, you know, they're drinking the Kool-Aid or just looking for their next piece crumble of bread to eat. You know,
they'd probably welcome a good glass of Kool-Aid. That would be probably pretty refreshing right now. Right. These poor people. I mean, this is. We also in past episodes talked a little about. You know, they have this Daily Show, the really great podcast, and they did a whole section twice. They did two segments, two different days on what's going on in North Korea and how these people live, how they get out, how they get in, how they survive, and it was wow, it was stunning. What we don't know about what's going on there is stunning in a bad way. So that's another thing we covered about this, and it's still going on. Nothing's happened with regard to the people. They're still in misery, but we got these hot dogs out here, our president and the North Korean president. One talk show, John, you'll get a kick out of this, talking about talking heads. They had a talking head on Joe and Mika's show, And this woman was very impressive. She's like the Obama foreign relations czar. And so they had her on to talk about the history of North Korea and how, Obama got tricked, how George W. got tricked, et cetera, Clinton got tricked. So, they're talking about all this stuff. And she's like, no. Trump's not going to get any credit for anything. The only reason this is happening is because of the sanctions. The sanctions did work and do work against North Korea. We are starving them out, which I have a lot of mixed feelings about. But in any case,
Yeah.
that's the deal. And she was really interesting. They were kind of giving her a chance to give Trump a little something, throw him a morsel. She wouldn't do it. And she explicitly said she would not do it, which was kind of interesting. So there's a lot of feelings around this thing, and it'll be interesting to see. Now, we did say during the that we covered the Olympics, the fact that North and South Korea did the Olympics together. We
Right.
did say this could lead to peace on the peninsula, and you would think that our prediction came true, but I'm going to have to not take it. I don't know how you feel, John. I'm not going to take this because I think this is a nothing burger. Your
Yeah,
thoughts?
it is. I would just like to, since I did work 2 years for a South Korean company named Samsung, and I know the plight of the people. And the fact is that we're talking about not only two nation, to a nation that was separated. That means families were separated. It's like they're in a ceasefire as we speak. They don't. This is basically no. There's been no resolution. I don't care what's happening right now. The fact is that when we think about what happened back in the early 50s with the Korean War, as citizens of the United States, we think, oh, well, we came in there and saved the day. Bullpucky,
Korean
we didn't.
conflict.
All we
Yeah.
did was, whatever you want to call it, the bottom line is that we haven't resolved anything there. All we
No,
did
we have
was
not.
basically we caused strife by separating two, a country into two different, and that meant families were separated, et cetera.
Yep.
So,
Yeah, not a
I
success.
it wasn't a success. I don't. It would be nice to think we could come in there and save the day, but that's hardly the what's going to happen. The other thing that, as you mentioned, all this came to mind, and that is, if we're smart, we maybe ought to give China a little bit of credit in terms of the embargo, because they're the ones who
They
basically were
stepped it up.
feeding. They stepped
Yeah.
up, and
Their
came.
embargo, yeah.
Yeah, their embargo is the one. So, if we ought to at least politically to be just
Yeah.
about it, we ought to get them into this thing in terms of at least giving them credit for it.
Well, one, I
Well.
will say this. One good thing came out of Korea in this situation, and it's personal to a friend of mine. Shall I
Oh
tell the story,
dear.
John?
I
Yeah.
guess as we need a high
This is
note.
it. Let's
Man,
end on
this is
this.
it. Let's
Yeah.
get the
Okay.
home run.
Here comes the home run. So, I think everyone remembers not too long ago that there was something happened to Hawaii. And let me give you a little background on how we get to Hawaii. I have a very good friend of 42 years who was going to Hawaii for 8 days. And at the last minute, the lady friend he was going to go with, and by the way, his wife died about 10 years ago. About the time when Marge died, John, and he had to nurse her through cancer also, so it was he as a result he just couldn't get the spark going again with anybody else, and so he ended up with a lot of lady friends who were just that, friends, and so he had a friend going with him to Hawaii. She had to cancel at the last second, and he went to his reserve list and found someone who would go with him, and I'm not going to use any names. So this lovely lady went with him to Hawaii. They had separate bungalows, and they're there. And this guy, my friend, looks at his iPhone and sees a text message in uppercase, all uppercase, that says, "A ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead is headed for Hawaii from North Korea. Prepare yourself for something bad," or the words to that effect. So, of course, his lady friend gets it too. They meet over Bob's bungalow and look at this incredible text message. Bob, you know, oh Jesus, I used his name. Anyway,
But you
my
didn't use
friend.
last names or the lady friends, so keep going.
Okay, so here's what happens to my friend. He's like a Boy Scout, so he knows what to do, believe it or not, doesn't panic. He and his lady friend fill the bathtub with water, fresh water, first thing you do. Bunch of other stuff, gets it all done within like 15 minutes. They really scamper, and they've got just a few minutes. They don't have that long to but before they know, hey, what's going on? Well, she looks at my friend and says, what are our chances of survival? Bob says, zero. They look at each other for another few minutes and decide, well, if we're gonna die, let's do it right. So they
Well, yeah, I
embrace.
think the way we can conclude this is by saying they were in two bungalows to
Now
start
they're
out
in
with.
one.
Now they're in one.
Yeah, of course, they got lifted 5 minutes later. 5 minutes later, it's all done. It was, sorry about that. Emily Latella, Saturday Night. Never mind. Right? This is nothing burger. But it's not a nothing burger for them, and they're still going strong. That's came out of Korea that I thought
A
was great.
nice relationship blossomed.
Yes, after a drought for my buddy.
Yes.
And she had the same thing happen to her. She was
Yeah.
single and looking and not finding. So this is wonderful. Thank you, benevolent dictator, godlike creature from North Korea.
Yeah.
You put some people together and got them off the dime, and they stopped thinking and started feeling, which is a good thing. All right,
I think
I'm
it's
done.
wonderful.
There you go,
Okay.
John. Wow, we did it.
Oh.
Somehow.
We did it.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay, quite all right. I'll be talking to you.